Hey everybody, welcome back to the Matt Report Season 8. It's the change of WordPress, the change of the economy, the change of business, the change of everything. Community, people, everything. It's changing around WordPress, and we're here to explore that on Season 8. That's what we've been doing. Hope you enjoyed everything you've been listening to. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review in iTunes. Share it with your friends and family. It's MattReport.com. MattReport.com/subscribe to join that mailing list. Today's special guest is Michael Makoshenko, CEO of the WP Bakery Page Builder plugin, formerly known as the Visual Composer plugin. And I think a lot of us haven't really ever had a chance to put the face to the name or to the company. And I certainly haven't been in WordPress for so long. Many of us have a bad taste in our mouths from Visual Composer early days. And Michael's really looking to steer the ship in a different direction, launch something new, something with a brand new foundation. And by the way, it's still the most widely used page builder plugin on the market. So you have to give the man credit where credit is due. And he just fell into this sort of what we'll say as success. But first, who is Michael and what does he do?
This is this might be one of the toughest questions to answer every time. Like, I consider myself being the most shy person in the world. So I'm just Michael. I'm CEO of Visual Composer. I started this company like out of the good luck, like thanks to Lehman Brothers actually. So back then, when the global financial crisis hit the globe and all the shitstorm started coming from the US to the rest of the world, I was actually laid off from my work at the local design agency. We're still good friends, like amazing people. It's SCADA. But yeah, I was laid off during some financial problems in that design firm. And I started to look for like new gig, what to do, where to put all my forces. I discovered this online marketplace and it was it looked like really compelling. Like you do what you want, so no one says what to do to you. And then you just upload to the your creation to the marketplace, and then some magic happens, and you start getting paychecks every month. So I started do that gigs, and then this idea with the page builder came to my mind.
This is the thing about entrepreneurship and celebrity stardom. Sometimes we just happen upon growing really fast, scaling a business super fast, the product takes off, it gets super popular, and people start buying it and using it, and all of a sudden we're found with this new business, and we're not sure how we're gonna deal with it. We're not sure how we're gonna grow the product and talk to people, but here's what Michael does to get through.
Honestly, not much have changed. Like I'm still doing, I'm still spending like the full day of my working life, every day, like every day to day business activities here at work, I'm still focused only just on one product. It's just the number behind it, that we're powering 1% internet of the whole internet, 4% of the whole internet, or there is just one single user. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'm still trying to do the best product. I'm still trying to come up with best UX with my team. I'm still trying to push our development team to come up with the cleanest, best code ever, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, like, of course, I'm a bit proud that we are powering like 4% of the whole internet, but this is not the main point of doing the entrepreneurship. So, I'm just enjoying the whole journey, all the obstacles that we are having, and it is just fun. So this number is just shows that we're doing something right, and of course, I know all the challenges, and a lot of users are saying that WP Bakery is the worst product ever. But I mean, like, there's always something that you are not 100% fully satisfied, and like I'm using Mac, I'm using iPhones, I have a car, and like, It just pissed me off sometimes, like, but I'm still continue to be a Mac user. I'm still a big fan of BMWs and so on and so forth. It is natural to to human being to express himself and shout out on Reddit or on other social medias about how bad is that product I'm using.
And this is where I found Michael, actually. I saw him do an AMA on Reddit, and I saw how well he fielded the questions. And there was just a lot of outlandish, you know, comments and just, you know, really insulting the product. And I can understand where people get frustrated, but it's the crazy internet sometimes, and he handled it really well. But how is he really going to reinvest all of that feedback, all of that critical feedback into making the product better?
Yeah, the thing is that, of course, we're trying to satisfy all the use cases and all the users. But the truth is that, as you said, it is impossible. Today, I like Visual Composer more than WP Baker Page Builder. And tomorrow, my habits might change. I might get a different kind of project where the other tool is actually better fit for the project. And it all it always surprised to me when a single person is making a statement like, this tool is the best. I spent like 20 minutes and I know. I made my final decision. I will stick with this tool for the rest of my life. Sorry, I will dump my wife, but I will continue using the same tool for every type of the project I will have in the future. So it doesn't matter. This tool is the one. I will be using it all the time. It isn't working that way. So we are adapting. There is new technology coming up. This is one of the main reasons why we started building new project, Visual Composer Website Builder, React-based, as you mentioned. And one of the things, like bad things about WP Baker Page Build, it is shortcode-based. Yeah, like nowadays everyone knows that shortcodes are, it is awful, it is bad. But the truth is that when we developed WP Baker Page Builder, this was like the only way how to store data in WordPress. This was the way how to store data in WordPress if you want to if your product should be like based on according to the WordPress codex standards and so on and so on. Of course, yeah, nowadays we are all smart. We know there's a JSON, there is a React, there is a template engines and blah blah and so on and so on, right? So but back then we simply didn't have all the tools that are available to us now. So and if I invite everyone who is saying that WP Baker is the worst, switch to Visual Composer. You'll not regret. So
I don't know about you, if you've ever been in a situation where somebody has really criticized the product, it can often feel defeating. And as you can hear from Michael, he hears it, he recognizes it, and he is pivoting with a new product for a new experience. So how is he taking all of that feedback and now investing it into the new idea?
Oh yeah. So a few things that we learned with WP Baker Page Builder is that users actually don't like bloated plugins, bloated themes. So if we'll compare WP Baker Page Builder and Visual Composer is like tiny. The whole plugin is just, I think, 2-3 megabytes in size. So and then you can open Hub and download additional elements, templates, blocks, or even add-ons for the Visual Composer from the Hub. Only those that you need. Another thing we learned that people just hate updating the plugin. So what we've done, we actually, of course, from time to time we release updates to the core files of the plugin because we at the moment we are doing like a lot of development. But we have an ability to push update to the cloud for just for a tiny element. For example, you download custom heating element from our Hub, then you use it across all of across the whole website, and then we push an update for the custom heating element. Let's say we added a new option to fill this custom heating with gradient type of effect. And you don't need to update the whole plugin, the plugin itself. So just a tiny part, like incremental update will be pushed to you from the hub. So this is second thing. And of course, the third and actually the most important is performance. React is awesome.
Sorry? Are you a developer by trade or designer by trade? Or are you more like...
I used to do a lot of Flash design, Adobe Flash. Back then, when that was a thing, then I moved to JavaScript and WordPress, and now obviously I do more and more of administrative work.
Are you writing lines of code today?
Just yesterday I pushed some custom markup for our new template email templates. So yeah, from time to time, occasionally, just for fun.
Yeah,
it drives me crazy.
I'm assuming it's like the rest of the team doesn't want you to touch anything. They're just like, nah, just stay away.
Yeah.
You built it, you got us here, but please stay away from
I mean, like they can judge me. Yeah, they all know how bad was the first version of WP Baker Page Builder. I mean, like the first version that I released on Code Canyon, I developed it like in 2 weeks.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, but the code was pretty bad. I mean. This might be the main reason why I rewrote the first version of Page Builder like in a month. So it was released completely new version. Backwards not compatible.
The argument that I would say is like, let's say you were doing this today and Page Builders didn't exist, right? Let's just imagine a world where Page Builders didn't exist and you said, hey Matt, it's 2019, I get this great idea for this thing called a Page Builder. And you were looking to get to market, I would argue that code does not matter right now. Let's get this thing out there. Let's get to see if people adopt it and like it and then build from there. I mean, it's effectively what you did, and you did an amazing job at it. I mean, the best job at it so far, because you have the largest market share out of everyone. So how does one that doesn't touch code, once you get to this level, are you like coming up with new features, new ventures for the business? Is that your key focus today? Like, you have a great idea for the product, you bring it to the team and the team says, yes, we can build that. No, we can't. Or here's the timeline it's going to take. Is that where you find yourself these days?
Yeah, most likely. So yeah, we have a pretty awesome team here. Our CTO is responsible for development. Our project manager, product owner is responsible for the feature prioritization. I'm forcing myself and trying to stay a bit away from this, because I don't want to do a lot of micromanaging, because they are my team. I trust them 100%, 100%. But of course, from time to time, we come up with some strategic decisions, or like our new ideas for the future vision, or something along these lines. So. Yeah, mostly administrative work, and actually, I'm not doing a lot of product related work on the base layer, and I'm trying to do more and more mentoring and grow our all our employees. I don't like this word, but our team players, our colleagues, and grow them, push them to the next level.
All right, well, we can't get through this conversation without, of course, talking about Gutenberg and the competition that Michael faces. Well, not just from WordPress core itself and the new features and the experience coming through with WordPress, but from his competitors with the large field of page builders that are out there who are seemingly rapidly growing. So let's just talk about the face of competition in a Gutenberg and page builder heavy world.
We talked with Matt a couple of times. We had a couple of hangouts calls, discussing where should the WordPress world go, and so on and so on. But I'm afraid of competition. Like, why? Because competition can take part of our market share. Yeah, this is the bad thing. We'll lose money. We'll lose users. Blah 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 blah. But this is this comes from the fear. What my head says, like, competition is always good. This keeps us in a shape, in good shape. This actually provide us with a better tools. Like, as of now, React is not a wild animal for the WordPress world because of Gutenberg. So thank you, Gutenberg, for that. When we started to do Visual Composer Website Builder, React was kind of a new fancy kid in town. And now, because of the competition, because we decided to use React before the Gutenberg. Then Gutenberg decided to use it for the Gutenberg project. So now when we say that we're using React for our new project, WordPress community already knows that React is good. Because WordPress automatic team did a great job educating all the users about the React. So competition is always good. I mean, like, at the end user will always win. And we, for us, it just, it is one of the inputs, one of the factors that will keep us in good shape, that will, I don't have like at all, I don't like fat. And we try to cut it always. Our team is tiny. Like a lot of users are actually surprised how small our team is. So we're doing the whole project. We're supporting two products by a team of 17 people at the moment. And this covers a lot, everything. Support, development, marketing, everything.
Well, that was actually going to be one of my next questions leading up here is, are you fully bootstrapped or do you have outside investment into the company?
None. Yeah, it's fully bootstrapped. It's all organically grown from my bedroom. So back then I didn't have a garage yet, but I heard that this is a thing in Silicon Valley. But yeah,
you went from a bedroom to a closet to a garage, and hey, maybe now you have a house. One of the things I think a lot of people see or maybe feel or just, you know, think is always the next step when a plugin gets to a certain point that they either need to get acquired by a bigger company to keep the ball rolling and to just get bigger market share, or that's just generally the next step, or to try their hand at like a SaaS-based business, right? Where it's no longer a plugin, it's a SaaS-based business. I mean, there are countless examples of this. One notably is Syed Balki with Optin Monster. It used to be a plugin, turned into a SaaS business. My general feeling is that there will be, and this is my conspiracy theory hat on, that there will be so much competition from Gutenberg, Jetpack, Automattic in how self-hosted WordPress sites are built, that page builders have to go in a direction of building their own experience around WordPress. And I don't know another way to do that other than having a SaaS-based experience. It might not be a SaaS-based page builder, but there has to be something, I think, to control the experience that you otherwise wouldn't be able to do on a self-hosted account. Is that in the cards? Is that crazy talk? Like, have you ever looked at doing SaaS-based with this product, competing against the Wixes, Squarespaces, and hell, even WordPress?
Let's just say that I agree with everything you just said.
You're good at this, Michael. You're good at this. Don't let anybody fool you. because look, I mean, I look at other page builders out there, and I see, and this is an argument across all products. This isn't just page builders, but the prices are too low. The prices are too low because you eventually need to hire more people. I mean, you do a fantastic job to be able to do what you do with 17 people. That's pretty darn good. And as long as you're satisfying customers, you're doing a hell of a job. But I've seen other businesses where it's like they start to sell and then they just start hiring like crazy, right? And then it just becomes like, I need support people, very good. I need developers, very good. I need marketers. And they just start growing this and profits become razor thin. And with WordPress, we do not control this. Like, we don't control this. This is not our sandbox. This is Matt's sandbox, right? This is the WordPress community at large's sandbox to a degree. I think it's good that that we can all start here and then maybe move on to something else. Not really a question in there, but just more of a thought of like, we don't control this experience and we need to be thinking We need to diversify, in other words. Gutenberg, Jetpack, Automatic. What are your thoughts on how it hasn't been the most transparent of rides, right? It hasn't been like, hey, we're building this thing that people can buy products through. It's called Jetpack. But you know, we're not going to really say that out loud until like 5 years later. Here we are in 2019. And now it's just like the biggest Trojan horse of all. You don't have to use my words, but I mean, what are your thoughts on the competition that Automatic brings into the space? Is it good? Is it bad?
It is definitely interesting. To me, it's obvious that at some point they also understood that their margins are... I don't know. I don't have any data. This is all my guesses. So their
none
margins
of us do. It's pretty funny that none of us have data in this open source world.
So yeah, so it might be that their margins are going down or now becomes razor thin, and they... Of course, they are looking for new ways to get the money from their end users, their clients, and they want to be compatible with Wix or Squarespace platforms. And I think that one of the key reasons why Gutenberg project was pushed to the market, let's say, in a rush. It might be that the fear of the Squarespace and Wix are actually onboarding a lot of more entry level users because they're doing hell of a job with marketing. They're doing it is impressive. They have recurring payments. They have their own infrastructure. They have their own version of builder, website builder. We're not talking about how good it is or how bad it is. They can catch a user on internet, on YouTube videos with all the fancy stars and sponsoring Knicks games. And this is actually the point where WordPress is starting to lose new users. Like in a battle for new users, they're losing, I think. Like all the old users or... how to say it?
They're developers. They're not human beings.
Yeah. it might be the best words. Yeah. So, like developers are continuing to use WordPress and they install this for their clients and they're educating. Like this is the one persona. But if you, as a new user, newcomer to the web, decided to have a website, the first thing you'll do, you'll type something in Google, right? And I highly doubt that you'll end up using WordPress. So maybe because of that, they pushed the Gutenberg so fast to the market in such an aggressive manner.
So all of these features are nice, and they're a great way to look at how Visual Composer is different. But how does Michael see his unique customer profile? How does he position himself with his marketing and his messaging? And what are the tactics he's using and the strategies to execute on that?
I was like waiting for when you ask where and how we differ from Gutenberg or WordPress. Gutenberg is part of the WordPress. So you install the WordPress or buy WordPress account at wordpress.com. You start tinkering with WordPress and you learn how to install plugins, how to install themes, how to switch between bad themes, and how to install all the plugins from the WordPress repository because they are free. We think that we might come up with a slice of the market where we know exactly what our persona needs, and then we'll just the whole onboarding process will be they will experience less struggle. We do have our blog, we have social accounts and every major social network. At some networks we are more active than others. Then we, of course, sponsor and promote that content with some Facebook ads, some YouTube ads, Google ads. So we didn't come up with some new unique marketing strategy or something. We're just trying to educate users that we're live, we're doing development, we're pushing updates like constantly, and you just simply. You can expect from us that we'll deliver on with a constant pace, and if you make a commitment and you purchase our product, expect to become better next week.
You have a content marketing site/WordPress content site called WP Crib, correct? Is that fairly new?
It's really new. Yeah, we just launched it in December. So it is a side project. We didn't want to push and post a lot of WordPress, general WordPress related news on our own blog, visualcompose.com/blog. But instead, we decided to launch a new WordPress blog magazine, I don't know, and just to write there about WordPress, and we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Build community, draw some eyeballs, build up a newsletter, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's more for fun now, but we have a person that is really passionate about that, so we'll see how it goes, yeah. And we're doing actually interviews during the all WordCamps. We usually visit WordCamp US and WordCamp Europe, and then a couple of local ones here in Europe. So, and we've during the WordCamps, we've filmed some interviews and then published them every week.
Well, Michael, this has been a pleasure. I'm so glad we got to connect. I'm so glad that I was able to put a face to the name. And you know, I wish you all the best in the future. You've an amazing accomplishment. And again, I can't applaud you enough for that AMA. I know a lot of people wouldn't do it. Maybe myself included, but you did it gracefully, and it's good to see where you're going with the company. Where can folks find you to say thanks?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. About the AMA, I actually enjoyed it.
It looked like you. I read,
it was quite fun. Yeah. So I think we'll do this once again somewhere in the future. Maybe focus it more on the new product, or. But some other topics, but it was cool, yeah.
Awesome.
And I definitely will try to force myself and be more open to the public. I will stop hiding in my basement.
Where can folks find you on social media? Do you hang out mostly on Twitter or?
Yep, Twitter. It's M. Makijenko. So double M. M. Makijenko. It's Twitter handle.
Awesome. We'll hook that up in the show notes. Everybody else, it's MattReport.com, MattReport.com/subscribe to join the mailing list. Don't forget to check us out at YouTube, YouTube.com/TheMattReport. We'll see you in the next episode.